chapter 11, and we're reading verses 16 to 19, and then 25 to 30. Matthew, which is the first book in the New Testament, and Matthew beginning to read, in chapter 11, beginning to read at verse 16. And this is Jesus who is speaking. "To what can I compare this generation? They're like children sitting in the marketplaces and calling out to others, 'We played the flute for you and you did not dance. We sang a dirge and you did not mourn.' For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they said, 'He has a demon.' The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, 'Here is a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners.' But wisdom is proved right by her actions." And then moving to verse 25. "At that time Jesus said, 'I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for this was your good pleasure. All things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." May God add his blessing to the reading of his word. Let us pray. Father God, as we gather together this morning, we thank you for your faithfulness in providing us your word. We thank you that it is a living word. We thank you, Father God, that through it, day by day, we receive your truth into our hearts and lives. We receive the means by which we are to live. We thank you for the strength that it gives us, for the encouragement, but also for that training in righteousness. And Father God, as we come before you this morning to share together around your word, we ask for the fresh anointing of your Holy Spirit upon us. Open our hearts and our minds to your truth this day. Speak your word that you have for us individually and corporately as a fellowship together. And Lord, we pray that your word will accomplish that which it is sent out to do. So Father God, this morning we bless you and praise you and rejoice that you are so faithful to your people. And we offer our prayers in and through the precious name of Jesus, our Lord and Saviour. Amen. Yesterday, I had the joy of going back to my old school. Now, some of you know that it wasn't that happy an experience when I was there the first time. But it was good yesterday. It was good to go back, and it was a special celebration because it was 140 years celebration for the school, and so they got balloons and we had a special meal, and there was some of the staff were there and some of the previous staff and so on and so forth. But there was four other people from my class there as well, and we shared together. And the really scary thing that we'd all thought about during that time was, yes, we were going back for 140 years, but we'd all been there for the centenary celebrations as well. And that really sort of put it all into context. And the others were talking about their retirement plans and things like that. But these friends that I met up with, three of them, I hadn't seen for 39 years since we'd left school. And it was just amazing. One of them hadn't changed at all. I would have known her anywhere. One was completely different because her hair had changed colour and she was different size, shape and everything. But as we began to talk and share, it just took us right back. It was like I'd never been away. I'd just seen them last week at school sort of thing. And their personalities and who they were began to come through, and you could see in their eyes particularly, and recognize, yes, yeah, that's Amanda and that's Elaine, and yeah, you know, one of them went halfway through the speeches because she said, I'm not listening to this, and yeah, that was typical of her as well, how she was. But it's so easy, isn't it, for us to judge people by looks, isn't it? And it's only really when we get to know people and when we begin to talk to them that we actually see who they are. That's my point of sharing what I was saying about school yesterday. As we began to talk and share, you began to see that inner person and not just the looks that were on the outside. And we do judge people. We do judge people by how they look. We do judge people by even by the company that they keep. And if we used those guidelines, then I wonder how we would judge Jesus. What would we say about him? Isaiah tells us he was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and familiar with suffering, like one from whom men hide their faces. He was despised and we esteemed him not. The Gospels tell us that he hung around with prostitutes, with tax collectors, with sinners, with people that others who were the righteous ones looked down on. What would be our judgment today by those standards, I wonder? It can be easy inside the confines of a church building to enjoy good fellowship. It's really good when we go down to church, you know. Everybody's so kind and loving. And everybody's very friendly, and by which we generally mean nice people when we say that it's good fellowship. That's really what we're meaning. Now, sadly, not all fellowships are like that. Some people have been put off church by arguments and falling out and splits and divisions, and there's deep hurt and rejection amongst the people as a result of what has been done. But that's not the church that Jesus intended for us to be. But if we have learned how to live together in God's name and in his love, then how do we share that with others? A church worker was talking to a drug dealer one day in a coffee shop, and the worker was asking how it was that the drug dealer was so successful in recruiting customers whilst the church offered so much for no money and that they got so few takers. And the drug dealer replied and said, well, you see, when they go to the burger van at lunchtime, I'm there and you're not. When they sit on the park bench because they've got nothing to do, I'm there and you're not. And when we look at the activities that we offer, we find that all of them expect people to come into the church. We find that we're not out there where the people are, but that rather we rely on posters and flyers attracting people. Or even we contact people that we already have connections with. Now, this isn't unusual. Many churches offer a range of services and activities, both to the churched and the unchurched. But Jesus' example was quite different. He didn't stay in the temple. He was out there in the community. He was out where the people were. He went to meet them where they were. As disciples and as followers of Jesus, we're called to do just that. To follow in his footsteps, to become like him as he was in the world. Now, to be where people of the world are, well, that sometimes can be a bit difficult, can't it? And I'm calling them people of the world, I'm not calling them sinners, because we know that we've all sinned and we've all fallen short of God, of the glory of God. And neither are we elevating ourselves that we're better than anybody else. But we do know that a Christian mindset is different to the mindset of a person who's in the world. And to actually be in the places where people of the world are happy can take a Christian out of our comfort zone. A burger bar or a park bench isn't too bad. But once you get into the realms of betting shops, pubs, clubs, massage parlours, well, that's a completely different ball game altogether. Now, Please don't think I'm encouraging you to go into pubs, clubs, massage parlours or betting shops. I'm not. Because what we have to factor in here is the wider teaching of God's word. Jesus only did what he saw the Father doing. In other words, Jesus worked with people where God the Father had already begun his work. His spirit had begun to soften the person's heart. And so we see that Trinity that we spoke about the other week, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, that unity that we find within the Godhead of God himself, we find at work in individuals' lives. And it's as we see God at work that we then move in, if you like, allow God to move in through us where we are. God is not asking us to save the world. He's already done that. We don't have to go out and save everybody. That's not our remit. Our remit is to be obedient to God and to go where he sends, to do what he calls us to do, to be the salt and light where he has placed us. God has already saved the world in that he sent his son Jesus to die on the cross, to pay the penalty for our sin. When he died on the cross, he did that. He paid the price. And ultimately, that price was this complete separation from God, which we would ourselves experience if we didn't come to a living, saving knowledge of Jesus and what he has done on the cross for us. But because we know that, because we know Jesus, because we know the joy of the everlasting life that we have, then our call by God is to share that with other people. We are not meant to keep it to ourselves or even within the confines of the church in terms of the building. We are meant to be out sharing it and telling others that they too may have that opportunity of coming to that saving knowledge of Jesus and what he has done. So God is calling us to be obedient to him, allow him to work in us and through us in the lives of other people. And the life on the front line is a great tool for this purpose. The first week encourages to consider who is on our front line. So we think about who are the people that we meet day by day, week by week. These are the people who are our front line. Then we're encouraged in subsequent weeks to ask God for opportunities to share the gospel, not necessarily by words, it might be by our actions and our responses, until finally we're praying the Lord's Prayer daily with the folk on our front line in mind. And that's part of what we were doing this morning. Lord, your kingdom come here in Failsworth. But through the front line, life on the front line course, you will be encouraged to think about the people on your front line. Lord, may your kingdom come in this person's life, in that person's life. We're not asking God to do what we think should be done. May your will be done in their lives. A week last Saturday, I attended a course at Farnworth Baptist Church entitled Making Mission Possible. The minister, John, there spoke about how they began their work, and it's too long to relate it over here, but 7 years ago, they began to build up their outreach work. Now they have over 100 volunteers, all of whom have induction training. They have 6 paid part-time staff, a coffee shop, a job club, food bank store, internship training, and they also have some teachers in a special school. Their strapline is to support and bless the folk of Farnworth. And so whilst not all of this work directly preaches the gospel, it is about bringing God's kingdom nearer to people's lives and offering them the opportunity to see a different way of living. Their membership has gone from 17 to 43, and all of those have been new conversions. This isn't people that have moved in from other churches because they thought, oh, there's something good going on over there. Let's go and see what that's like. This has been people who have come to a saving knowledge of Jesus. Many of them have been brought in through the coffee shop, through the job club. But they have been, or people have invited their friends or their neighbours. They've come along, they've listened to the word, and they've made a decision for themselves. We are not Farnworth. And I don't believe that God intends us to be. Each church is unique because each member within it is unique, and therefore Failsworth people, community, is not the same as Farnworth community people. But God does have a plan and a purpose for his church at Roman Road, but also for the people of Failsworth. Now, Jesus didn't have it easy. People didn't like it when he visited some of these dubious characters or welcomed them to eat with him. Have you seen who he's eating with over there? Have you seen who he's talking in that tree? Have you seen who he's asked to come to his house? Oh no, they didn't. They complained, you see. And Jesus was saying that the ones who complained were like the children in the marketplace. You know, they played the flute and you didn't dance. They played a dirge and you didn't mourn. Whatever you did, it was wrong. Jesus said John the Baptist, he didn't drink, he didn't do, he didn't eat. And they said that he had a demon. So Jesus came and he ate and he drank. And they said that he was a glutton and a drunkard. They weren't happy, whatever. But actually, it wasn't the individuals that they weren't happy with. They weren't happy with the work of God. And, you know, I have to tell you that when you start moving in God's purposes or continue to move in God's purposes, you will not find it easy. There will be opposition. And people are not opposing you. People are opposing the Jesus in you. They're not opposing you as a person. They are opposing the truth that you are proclaiming. We need to be careful that we don't fall into the temptation of so desiring to please other people that in so doing we end up displeasing God. I'm going to invite Hannah to share with us now. She and her family are on sabbatical for 3 months, as some of you may well be aware. But we've partnered with them now, with Hannah and her family, for several years because they're part of Livingstones, a Christian community down in Newton Heath. And Anna is also, though, an active member of our children's workers team here. But her primary calling has always been to the estate where they live. So, Hannah, if you'd like to come and share with us.
Do I need to do anything to this? Or?
No, Derek.
Okay, lovely, thank you. Livingstones, we call ourselves missional community. For some reason, we put Christian community on our little logo. But this is, after quite a lot of discussion and prayer, this is our mission statement that we came up with. Our mission is to reveal Jesus by pursuing justice, truth and wholeness in the community and by living as his family. And this community is the Troydale Estate in Newton Heath, which is about 400 homes. So what is missional community? It's a bit small, that. It can also be defined as a missionary community. And is it not working? Oh, dear. Okay, it's obviously taking quite a few clicks to get to the next point. It's missionary is one who is sent. And we can see biblical examples of that, like Abraham, who was called by God to leave his comfort zone and go to a foreign culture, what Dorothy's just been talking about, for the purpose of bringing and being the blessing of God to the whole world. And also in John, that's in Genesis. Also in John, Jesus was sent by God. He also sends us, and that was his prayer at the end, towards the end of his life, that he prayed for us as followers of him. A missional community, although we seek evangelistic fruit, as in people coming to faith, the community is focused on first helping friends, the neighbourhood, network of relationships, for them to feel God's love through us being in that community, so helping, supporting, advocating, serving, encouraging, loving, and keep doing it without any strings attached. So not coming across as, I'm helping you so you can come to faith, or you must sign up as a Christian in order for you to receive this help. And if we think about incarnation, we think about that as at Christmas time, but this is something that that we need to follow Jesus in his footsteps. And incarnation is about embedding ourselves in the gospel into a local context. So the message version of John 1:14 we really like is the word became flesh and blood and moved into the neighbourhood. And that's exactly what Jesus did. And this is what we've chosen to do on the Troydale estate. This is where we are, in case you don't know where Newton Heath is. I'm sure you probably do. But this is the estate. So that's Oldham Road up there. And that little star is our house. And this is us. Our missional community consists of 6 people. These people, me and Dave, as you know, my mum and dad here, who have come and joined us this morning, and obviously Grace and Ben. My mum and dad have lived on the estate for over 30 years and still live in the house that I grew up in, and been in ministry for all that time, and have been blessed recently by God providing the resources to buy the house that they live in after many years. So truly embedded that they now own the house that they live in. And just a few pictures. Do you want to just scroll through them? These are pictures of the estate. That's Oldham Road. So the estate is just on the right-hand side. That's going up to Oldham. And this is the canal, Rochdale Canal. So we're right in between the Oldham Road and the Rochdale Canal, which obviously comes up here. The vision, what does it look like? It's 2 verses that have been really important throughout our time. Is God sets the lonely in families, and men and women of ripe old age will sit in the streets. The city streets will be filled with boys and girls playing there. Now, if you think of inner city communities, you don't sense that safety and security and family and community. And that's something that we believe that God wants to see happen in these communities. Challenges of ministry on an inner city estate. Raising funding for projects and support for personal finances. Don't like to focus too much on projects, but you know, over time we do the work that looks like a project. And supporting people in desperate and seemingly hopeless situations can be spiritually and emotionally draining. And so those verses Dorothy read about, if you're weary and burdened, come to me. That's what we need to do because of what we're surrounded by. And quite often we've got friends who we see moving on in their lives, take one step forwards, then 2 steps back, which is quite, can be depressing at times. We're surrounded by dirt, drugs, crime, noise, violence, and we can make the list even longer, but we don't want to dwell on it. Seeing lives redeemed from the situations that are in can be a long process and needs a long term commitment to the people and the place, and also we need time and space to rest, be refreshed and restored, and that's not easy necessarily in our own home when we're surrounded by people and the life that they're in. And isolation, who will work with us? We're 6 people, including 2 children, and that's been the core for many years, and God has blessed us and encouraged us and worked through us in that time. But every now and again, we feel that we would really appreciate others joining us living on the estate. I think that's yes. But we'd like you to thank God with us for what has gone on, for his provision and protection over the last 10 years. Dave and I moved up from London 10 years ago, for blessing us with good neighbours and sustaining us through difficult times and giving us the courage to stick around despite the sometimes depressing environment we live in, and for all he's done in and through us and for the vision he's given us for our ministry. So despite seeing all this kind of discouraging stuff around us, the drugs and the violence and the crime, it's not like that all the time. At the moment we're going through a wave of kind of quite a lot of violence and drugs and stuff very visible at the moment, but it doesn't always feel like that. But at the moment we've got one of them, but God has still given us a vision and hope for what we can see him do in the community. So 10 years on for Dave and myself, it's time for a break. So we felt God quite clearly telling us to take a sabbatical. So July, August, September, Dave's finished work for 3 months and they've been really supportive in allowing him to take 3 months off work. So July we're winding down, visiting friends, having bike rides, and preparing our house for decorating, which we haven't really done the whole time we've lived in the house. So it's about time that we did that. and prepare for holiday. We've been really blessed in God providing the resources for us to go to Canada for 4 weeks. We've got family both sides of Canada, so we're going to go to Vancouver and get a train for a few days journey across to Toronto, and we've arranged that we're going to meet with other Christians who are doing similar ministries in Toronto and Vancouver, so hopefully we can get some kind of conversations and encouragement from those people. And September we hope to decorate our house, so we'll see how that goes. How can you help? You know, well, I've been really blessed, and so have the children. Well, we've all been really blessed by being part of this church community and the encouragement that you are to us. We'd ask that you would pray with us, that we'll hear God speak to us during this time of sabbatical, and his plan for us for the next phase of our ministry. When we first came here, we went to kind of share what we planned to do in a local church. And Dave got up. Dave's from Devon, country boy, never wanted to live in a city. Dave comes here and says, well, we plan to be here for at least 20 years. It's like, okay, we've got at least another 10 to go. So we want to make the best use of our time off, because obviously if we're thinking another 10 years ahead, then we really need to be focused on what God's saying to us. For renewed hope, for what we want to see God do through us and around us. And also for finances, I don't have a paid job. Dave's at the moment only got half a job. And so we need financial support that we do get from friends and family. But that obviously kind of needs to be ongoing. And also funding for projects that we'd like to see happen. Practically, during the sabbatical, decorating our house, if you have any of those skills or know anybody else who does, we'd love to have people come and help us. Financial support to cover the everything that we want to happen during the sabbatical. Help out at events. We've been involved in doing a fun day with the Tenants Association for the last few years, and Dave and I won't be around for that this year. So there's still going to be a fun day on the 2nd of August. So if you fancy popping down between 12 and 3 or a bit before to help put up marquees, just help be around, supervise Bouncy Castle. It's not too much work, but a few extra bodies would be much appreciated. I've done a little prayer update that I will stick at the back. So if you want to find out a few more prayer points or take them home to remember, then please do. I think that's it. So I'll just leave that up there. So hope that kind of explained a bit.
So that is part of our church. I know it's a separate entity in itself, but it's also, because Hannah is part of our fellowship here, it's part of our work. We see that as part of our extended work and the support of it outside. And that's what I would love to see, those kind of things happening, where people feel that God is putting something on their heart, and then they're responding to that, and they're working at that, where they are in their particular part of the community, and the church here is then a support and a means of enabling for them to be able to do that. And as we come back into church on a Sunday, it's a time of celebration, a time of rejoicing in what God has done, and a time also of equipping and renewing and strengthening so that we can go out back again. It is quite a radical change in the way in which we work, but I believe that this is what God is calling us to do. I said a few weeks ago that church could be messy, and I was talking at the beginning about nice people and being in, you know, with people that we're comfortable with. And we might well find, in fact, I am sure that we will find, that there will be people that will come in who we might not feel as comfortable with. But we need to be seeing the Jesus in them. We need to be allowing Jesus in us to share that love. And we will change. The way that we do things will change, and we ourselves as people will change. And it is part of that honing process that God is interested in, because that's part of building us together as living stones. We're not like the stones that just get knocked about and plunked into place. We are called living stones. And so therefore we will be changing and evolving and moving on and moving forward. The Christian life isn't easy, and we can become discouraged. And I think as Hannah was sharing there, we heard a little bit of some of the discouragement that they've been going through. 10 years is a long time to be keep inputting all the time. When we don't see fruit, it can become hard work to remain faithful. But this is what God calls us to do. But it shouldn't be a chore. Jesus says, come to me and I will give you rest. And Hannah's already made reference to that part of our scripture reading this morning. Being yoked with Jesus means being led by him, his taking and sharing the burden. If we find that our witness is a burden, then we need to check if we're really listening to God. And if it's not that we've just gone off and, oh, that'd be a good thing to do. Just as I was reading all those things off that Farnworth are doing, it would be easy for us to say, well, Farnworth are doing this, so we'll have a go and do that. That's not the way that it is. We need to be waiting on God. This is why the prayer meeting is so important. This is why it's important that we meet together in fellowship, that we share together, that we discern together what it is that God is saying to us, and that always we encourage one another and build one another up in the faith. Now, if you're sat there thinking, oh, that's great, yeah, we'll support them, or even, yeah, well, that's good, let them get on with it, you know, I'm all for that. And I've got news for you, because God calls all of us. It's not just a few, it's all of us. And many people say, well, I can't do that, I'm not good enough, I'm not clever enough, I haven't got the training, I don't understand. But Jesus, you know, went on to say that the meek and the unpretentious ones are often able to see the spiritual truths that are missed by the learned people, because they're so busy taking it apart that they miss the simple truths. God calls, and when he calls, he equips. He puts us in situations where we have opportunity to speak for him. But we do have free will. And whether we do speak for him or not is up to us. But if we step out in faith, then God will supply all our need. And I'm sure if you talk to Dave and Hannah and Derek and Maureen afterwards, you will hear from them stories of the amazing way in which God has provided for them. And many of us here can give testimony to that anyway ourselves, of how God has provided for us in different situations. But we have no need to fear of provision, of things becoming messy, of change, if we are willing to be obedient to God's call and open ourselves up to him. Today we're coming to meet together around the table, and it's an opportunity to be refreshed and renewed. If you've been challenged this morning by the things that have been said, then now's the time to respond and invite Jesus to take complete control, to fill you afresh with his Spirit. As we come to the table, we acknowledge both our need for Christ day by day, but also our willingness to submit to his lordship in our lives. The church fellowship is not here so we can have a good time on a Sunday. The purpose of our meeting together is to encourage one another and to be renewed in body, soul and spirit, to be sent out to live and to work for God in the coming week. My firm belief is that you cannot be a Christian on your own, that we need the fellowship and the encouragement, the support of one another. And I also believe that that's what Jesus intended. Jesus, I believe, is passionate about his church being made ready as a bride for him to return to as the bridegroom. And therefore, we need everyone to be their part. Each of us have got a part to play. We're all part of the body, the local body of Christ. And whether you're a little toe or, you know, a hand or whatever, you are part and you are a needed part within the body. So this morning, the challenge is, are you like one of the children in the marketplace, you know, never satisfied, always wanting something different? Or do you have the childlike trust that takes Jesus as his word and remains open to the wonders of the gospel and the marvellous possibilities that there are of leading other people into it? As you think about that, we're going to sing a song together. Again, words that we've not sung before, but a tune that we know.